Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's up today?
Hello, Barbara Bird, and hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 241 of the Groom Pod, recorded on February 16th, 2020 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, and the Absorber Towel. This week, we're going to talk tiny dogs. We're learning about the CIR and why breed profile grooming is so important. I want to tell you about this fantastic new sponsor, and that is the Absorber Towel. The Absorber Towel from DogLoversTowel.com. It is changing my world. The Absorber Towel really helps me cut down on drying time. It has an interesting feel. It feels kind of like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser flattened out into a sheet, and it's really quite durable. It is saving me laundry costs. It's saving me space in my mobile, and it's really quite a fascinating little tool. I'm keeping it in a container with vinegar inside, and it is so far working really well. I rotate them, but you know what? You can wash them in the laundry. You can leave them out to dry. If they dry out, you just rehydrate them. And I'll tell you what, the ones that are cut in half, I can wring them with my hands without any pain at all. And I was really worried about that. So if you guys are interested in learning more about the Absorber Towel, you go to DogLoversTowel.com and let them know that the Groom Pod sent you. All right, how was your week?
I want to tell you about a new protocol that we've got going. My assistant, Yvonne, has stumbled upon the greatest combination. So this is what she did. She loves the dollar store bath bombs so much that she's buying them herself to be sure that we have some. And then I just kind of throw her an extra $10 or $20 because sometimes she buys me lunch. And see, now that's a sign of a really devoted employee and a team player, someone that actually goes to the trouble of bringing in product or tools or, you know, whatever, that toilet paper. She's
whatever you need.
She's really helpful that way. So this is what she's done. She loves the bath bombs, and then we ran out of results rinse, and she freaked out.
She
demanded that I give her an alternative. What am I going to do? What am I going to use? And I said, you know what? Just you do a vinegar rinse, and you don't have to use too much vinegar. So now she's also buying vinegar. And here's the deal. The bath bomb before the shampoo,
really?
And then the vinegar rinse after the shampoo. And the coats are coming out really nice.
So she does the bath bomb first?
Yeah, the bath bomb first. Because the bath bomb kind of opens the hair cuticle. It's like neutral to mildly alkaline. And then the vinegar rinse at the end closes the cuticle and helps get a nice shiny coat and leaves the coat scissorable. So that's the deal, is that gotta love conditioner, but it's hard to do any meaningful conditioning without getting a softness effect. So it so softens. Like the one problem that I have with the Best Shot Sentiments shampoo and conditioner, which I totally love, is that it tends to leave the coat somewhat too soft for the snap-on combs to go through well and the scissoring. You know, it just makes the coat lay down, and you don't always want that. So the vinegar rinse is just a clarifier and an acidifier that closes the hair cuticle. It gets rid of any residue and leaves it all primed for finish work.
And you're getting great results.
And I'm getting great results. And I mean, and she just started doing this. Well, maybe I suggested she combine those things, but she started doing this and it's working well. The coats are drying fast and she's getting straighter coats for me. She's
nice.
Bringing me dogs that are better prepared, and I love that. So it's something that I kind of recommend. And there again, you don't need to go fancy on the bath bombs. In fact, the dollar store bath bombs, which are kind of very baseline products, work the best for your dog grooming protocol.
If you look at the ingredients, there's almost nothing in there. There's just like three ingredients or four ingredients.
Yeah.
One of them is a slight color or a slight fragrance, but basically it's just the stuff you want. And they're so inexpensive. You get three of them for a buck, and you can have them sent to your shop or your house through their website at Dollar Tree. And they're like $12 a case. So I got a couple cases sent here. I think it was 12 bucks. Been a while now because I'm still using them.
Where do you go for the cases?
The dollar store, dollartree.com.
Dollartree.com. I gotta do that because we're using so many.
I want to tell you that registration for the Northwest Grooming Show opened up, and the classes filled within minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Of opening.
My goodness.
The poodle class, the rescue class, I don't know about creative, but all of the classes, they filled so quickly. It's mind-blowing. And they sent us out a message that it was opening, so we all knew it was opening. So the people who wanted to get in actually sat there at 8 in the morning, perched at their computers, and even some of them didn't get in the rescue class.
Wow. Yeah, that's everybody's entry point. That's where people decide.
Well, you don't have to bring a dog.
Yeah, you don't have to bring a dog, and you can just learn if you have the wherewithal to withstand grooming in public like that. And you either do or you don't. It's just easier to be yourself in the rescue class than it is to go in and be in the same group of the big guys, you know. So it's
the groom team competitors.
Yeah, the groom team competitors, right.
When you stand next to them, it's very intimidating.
Very, I know.
And their friendliness level varies from, you know, where they are in their journey, mostly. It's not like rescue where everybody's really friendly to each other and it's not quite as cutthroat. When you get up to the big guys and you're competing next to the big guys, even if you're in a different level than they are, you're still right there. Their dogs are right there next to yours and you cannot help but compare yourself to them. It's rough on the ego. A little bit.
that's probably why I haven't done it. Yeah, that's right. It took me 75 years to get a tougher skin. But now, yeah, well.
I think what I'm going to do is spend Saturday night at the show. Dave Campanella is coming. He's doing a class, and I want to try to get into his class, but it's the first class of the day. And with the diabetic cat, it's very difficult to me to get down to Tacoma, which is an hour away, when I have to do a cat shot at the time his class is supposed to start. So I'm working on the logistics there. But theoretically, I will be at that show Saturday and Sunday, so come up and find me. I'll try to wear at least tie-dye, if not one of the Groom Pod shirts, and maybe a tie-dye Groom Pod shirt. You just never know with me. You'll certainly hear my voice, so come up and say hello if you come into the Northwest Grooming Show. Of course, next week is Pasadena. It'll be happening when this show is releasing.
Yeah.
Kind of jealous I'm not there, but I'm always very distracted when I'm anywhere near roller coasters like that. But next year, I plan on going to Pasadena. Maybe you'll come with.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll fly to Tucson and we'll drive over or something.
Yeah,
I never know. No? Okay, fine. So I had a new Westie this week, a Westie puppy.
Oh, how cute is that?
Of all of the puppies, oh, I love a Westie puppy. Her name is Gypsy.
Oh.
She's probably 4 months old, maybe 5 months old now. So she's just getting her little sturdy self all organized. And her humans, you know, sometimes I walk into a house and I know that they're not my kind of people. I walked in this house and I knew instantly they were my kind of people. Not even counting the fact that they had 11 cars and lived in the country and car pictures all over the inside of their house. They were just really nice, great people. And when you get a puppy like that, and you know that you're going to get an entire lifetime with this family and this dog, it's kind of a special moment, especially at that very first groom where you just meet each other. I have some of my very best bonding with Westies. I don't know why, but they're some of my favorite and closest and best buddies. And I'm excited to have this little girl on board. So that was kind of cool. And I had a really nice service moment. You know, I live for service moments, for making people feel really good in a spot where only I can do that thing. That's one of the things that makes me feel good about life. So I have a longtime client, two professors. She was a history and he was English. They started with me a dog ago, so at least 14 years. And we're 5 years into the second dog, so probably more like 16 or 17 years total passing with this family. And they moved into assisted living a few years ago, which is weird because they were like young people when I, you know, started with them, or at least it seems like it, and now they're aging and it's hard to watch, but it's also wonderful to watch because they're great folks. But Gordon had his hip replaced, and they were so worried about not being able to meet me downstairs with the dog. They never in a million years thought to ask me to come up and get the dog or anything like that. They called and they said, Gordon can't walk downstairs. We're going to have to cancel Lily's grooming. And I went, well, no. Why don't I just come up and get the dog? I mean, that's pretty easy. And they went, oh, we can't ask you to do that. I'm like, no, really. I'd love to do it. You guys are like family. It's the least I can do. Allow me to walk in, come upstairs, pick up the dog, and then I'll bring her right back to you all clean. I'd hate for Lily not to be clean. They never miss an appointment. They have never missed a monthly appointment for anything except for one that we pre-planned to miss. Practically had tears in their eyes that I came upstairs and took Lily. Of course I would. I would drive all the way over there to just come take Lily out to go potty if they needed me to. They're awesome people, and it was just really a fun moment. And that is why I love mobile grooming, because you get to do stuff like that, not just with the dogs, but with the people. And you make these lifelong bonds. Lifelong, well, 15 years seems like a lifelong bond, but, you know, it's very cool.
That's great.
You watch them evolve through their life and you're part of it. And I have this massive family of people who I've connected through the grooming industry. And it's a great collection and I'm so grateful. Anyway, gosh. That was a gush. Had to do it.
That was great. I'm happy that, yeah, I love those kind of moments when you know you've done the right thing and it's been generous and giving and caring. Yeah, me too.
Yep, it me was too. Fun. What a beautiful facility too. Anyway, I also want to remind everybody that we are throwing in now. Normally we don't shamelessly beg for money, and we're not begging for money, but I'm trying to replace Barbara's washer. So any donations that come through the groompod.com's website donation button at this point will go to help Barbara get a new washer, a new used washer, so that she doesn't have to hold the washer while it goes through its spin cycle, which is not an effective use of her time.
I have to lean on it, you know, like I suppose. I would have my phone, except that it stopped and I have to dip my hands in the cold, maybe I should use warm water, in the cold washing machine water and move the load around and then try again, and then it turns off again. So if I can't really use my phone because I'm wet anyway.
Yes.
What a mess. It's just horrible. I've got a load of towels out there stuck in the spin cycle now, and it's been so cold, and I have this fingertip disease that's making my hands extremely sensitive and sensitive to cold, and to put my hands in there, it's actually hurts.
Yeah, we don't want you to be doing that
Jesus,
anymore.
Jesus, I don't want to really do it anymore. I've started questioning if something really needs the laundry. You know, like, do I really need to clean this? You go around smelling your clothes and using Febreze, you know, like, come on, give me one more day.
We do have a couple donations that I wanted to mention. Terry Crawford and Erica Price both gave us some money for the washer. So if anybody else wants to give us washer money, I will read your name and thank you graciously, personally, live at the Groom Pod for your donation to help Barbara get a washer.
God, it's embarrassing.
I know it is. I don't want this to mess with you. So, you know, you have enough to worry about.
Well, thank you. But it's just hard to be at this point in my life and not be able to buy myself a washer. Shit.
I know. Anyway, let's get off our pity pot.
Okay.
Let's kick that pity pot down the road. Let us hear from one of our fantastic sponsors, and then we're coming back to talk about grooming tiny dogs. How much fun is that, or not?
Or not, right.
You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. So the dog that lives with me 1 week a month, or that I'm one quarter owner on, or however you want to put it, she is 7 pounds. She's a tiny little teeny tiny wisp of a thing. And Barbara, how much does Little weigh?
Little weighs about 5 pounds.
She's even smaller than Figgy. Boy.
That's why we call her Little.
I know that grooming large dogs is hard on your body physically, and it takes different types of equipment, but grooming tiny dogs is really challenging as well.
It is for me.
Is it? Okay, well, good. I'm glad that we're going to talk about this.
It looks like you could just like snap a leg in two just with your bare hands. It just seems so fragile.
They don't even have any regard. They just will rip their leg around like they're going to pull their ligaments.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's horrible.
And my little dog, Little, she hates grooming. Here I am, a groomer owning a Maltese that hates grooming. And it's so bad that she's a clip-it-off 4 times a year dog.
So I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Since you've groomed so many dogs in your lifetime, I haven't groomed nearly as many dogs as you have. You started way earlier than I am, and you've got an extra a year or two past my age as well. Have you ever known a tiny dog, I mean a really tiny dog, that actually enjoyed their grooming? Because I don't know that I ever have had. Not like a medium-sized dog does, or not like a big dog does. Those little dogs, I don't think there's any little dog, short of a poodle maybe, that really enjoys their grooming.
I have a theory about that.
Oh, good. Tell me.
You see, I know that little dogs survive by acting like big dogs.
Yes.
Right? And so in the universe of animals, that compensates to some extent. But when you're dealing with being handled by a stranger, or even for some dogs, being handled, they can become feeling vulnerable. And so they can actually become aggressive over that to protect themselves from that feeling of vulnerability that they've been, you see, they've been faking it in the animal world for their lives, you know. So I think the only ones that like to be groomed are possibly something like a toy poodle that has been handled and groomed since it was in infancy.
I've got Figgy, who is a mutantly small Havanese. The first time she came to stay with me, she was 16 weeks old, and I've groomed her since she was that big. She has hated grooming from day one. I mean, she set her jaw, and she would give me the evil eyes, and she wouldn't let me hold her foot or anything. And she's constructed pretty well. You know, like, she's proportionate. Yeah. Her joints are tight. She doesn't have knee issues. And still, my hands cover 3/4 of her body size. And I think it's so intimidating for these little dogs. And little dogs in a big world, you're right, they are just very defensive. And then as a mobile groomer on top of it, I don't get to do a lot of little dogs. But I do end up with the ones that really hate grooming because the people really don't mind spending $100 to get their dog groomed.
Because nobody else can do it.
Well, that's
true. I don't know. I had one of those super small Havanese. I have one that's a snowbird, a winter customers, and a couple my age that winter out here every year, and they are such a cute couple, and they have so much fun together, and he is such a clown, and she is so accepting. Like, he just openly flirts with me in front of his wife, you know. And they're just a riot. We just love them. And their dog is little. Now, she's not that scary, but she's still not easy. She still tries to resist the grooming by moving around, and she's hard to get perfect because she won't be still. That, I'm usually brutally honest with the people, but I don't have the guts to be brutally honest about little Sadie. I just don't want to add that element into our relationship.
I just
deal with it. And she's not so much that I have to charge more.
Right.
You know, she's not that kind of a thing.
So as a mobile, the way I end up with these little dogs is they have a big dog at the house already. So they've got like a normal non-mutant Havanese, and then they get something like a Yorkie or little tiny Pomeranian or some, they get something else, and I'm already there grooming one dog, then I'll groom the tiny dogs. If there's two of them, I'll do two for the price of one grooming visit. So if I've got like a long-haired Chihuahua and a smooth-coated Chihuahua, I'll roll that into one grooming price, and I find that completely acceptable for those little guys.
Yeah.
One of the hardest things for me is doing the nail trims because, first of all, I'm getting old and can't see, and my glasses always have so much crap on them. There's just, you know, I try to wipe them off as best I can. But then there's the, how do you hold the tiny dog? Do you just scoop the whole dog up? I can do that with the front feet, but then they're mutantly tiny back legs. You can't just move them around. You can totally dislocate a hip or ruin a knee that way. I find it such a challenge. My solution is I use cat nail trimmers because they're a little bit easier to get in behind. But I don't really have a great solution for the back legs. I do have a tiny hammock. What is your solution to get those back tiny nails done without injury?
I've got Yvonne.
Oh, that's right.
It's worth it. She is so worth it to have someone who can come and help with the little dogs. We have a little dog that we do a total strip on 3 times a year. He's old, he's fragile, his owner waits out in the parking lot, and we just zip him down, and she's just there helping me handle, and she'll, you know, like, she'll hold his head while I clip the ear, et cetera, et cetera.
I forget that occasionally when I've had difficulty with some of these little ones, I have the owner hold the dog.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, and I'll just do them first or last.
Yeah, the 6 months that I was a groomer, I had several clients that I would have them hold the dog. Some clients, not all, but some clients can make very effective assistance.
Yes. Very true.
And some are totally worthless. And it's just, you know, it's just a matter of choice. So
yes.
The funniest one, I want to tell this story. The funniest story I have about that is when I was a mobile, I met a young woman with a Shih Tzu that was difficult, and I would have her help me. And I groomed the dog that way several times. And then I opened my own shop, and she came with me, and she would come in the shop and hold the dog. Well, then she got married, and she invited me to the wedding party, and it was at her house. And I got dressed up, and I went to the wedding party, and as soon as I stepped in the door, the dog started barking at me like crazy. And it was like cursing me. Don't tell me that bitch is in my home.
Oh, no.
Get that bitch out of here. You bitch, get out of here now. I don't want to see you at my party in my home.
Oh my gosh, you invaded his personal space.
And I went to another room, and she followed me, and then she's like pointing at me. That's the bitch that does that to me every month. Get that bitch out of my home. I went to the backyard and had to hide behind the barbecue pit. Oh my God, you know what? I couldn't stay there very long. I had to hook up with somebody else in the backyard, and we went to a motel.
When in doubt.
That's the truth.
When in doubt, make a friend. Okay, let's get back to the dog grooming thing. How about in the bathtub? What do you do in the bathtub? Do you have a grate in your bathtub? You've got a regular human bathtub.
No, just bend over and break our back. I have a grate, but the holes aren't small enough. The holes in the grate.
What I use is a bath mat on top of the grate or a yoga mat.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
If you don't have a rack, some of the new tubs, they actually have a rack that fits in on top. That's like the one I had at the vet hospital. It was really neat. So for little dogs.
Yeah, that's neat. Yeah.
And that is not so intimidating for them. In my grooming trailer, I've got a short-lipped tub, so it's really easy to put the little dogs in there. They don't mind. But when I was using a deep stainless tub, I would put a Rubbermaid bin in there so the dog could stand on the bin, and it made like a table in the center of the tub, so the dog was up high enough.
That was
some of the solutions. Do you use your Bathing Beauty? I do.
Yeah, most of the time, except with little, I like to use the Eye Groom Charcoal Shampoo straight on.
Right.
Leaves your coat really nice. And I just don't like the results that much of that shampoo through the Bathing Beauty. But I love it used, you know, out of the bottle. But I let her put her legs on the side of the tub and kind of stand up. So she actually raises up to me. And that helps me with that grooming. And there's a lot of dogs you can't let do that. It's one step closer to out of the tub.
Right. What about drying? When I started drying the dogs in the trailer, I was using my HV dryer with nothing on the end so that it was just blowing air. But then a friend of mine, I can't remember who it was, said that I should put my handheld Andis dryer back in my trailer and carry it around with me. And boy, does that make the drying experience better for those tiny dogs. I just use my handheld Andis dryer and a brush, and I agitate the hair a little bit so that it dries nice and easily, blowing nice warm air on them, even in the middle of the winter. I appreciate having that heat so that it's a little bit better for those tiny dogs. I have found the absorber is still pretty helpful on the little dogs if there's any coat on them, you know, only because we cut it in half, because otherwise there would be way more absorber than dog. It would not be so helpful.
We have an X-Power variable switch high-velocity dryer, so we just turn
perfect.
It way down. And then sometimes I'll finish them, like I'll do the head and the ears on my table with my handheld in a frame dryer. Yeah. And also the blower brushes, you know, the dryer brushes.
Oh, yeah.
Those little brushes work well to brush and dry a coat.
Do you have teeny tiny scissors and teeny tiny combs and itty bitty stuff for these tiny dogs? Or do you just try to kind of work with the bigger stuff with them?
It's kind of quite the opposite. I have teeny tiny combs and brushes and scissors to work on the regular dogs with. I don't want to wield a 10-inch shear or even an 8. I hardly even use 8-inch shears except for the big dogs. I'm using, you know, my 5.5-inch curve scissors. I've got a 6-inch and a 7-inch straight edge scissor. I use my little Flexi King slicker brush with the coated tips to brush with, and my half moon comb. Man, I use that a lot. It's hardly ever for Asian grooming, which was what it was kind of created for, but I love it for detangling. I love it for soft, fine coats. And, of course, for a small dog, I want to use a smaller tool so that when I come at them with it, it's not as scary.
Especially those brushes. It's really intimidating to come with a big brush to a small dog. They don't like that at all. Do you use your clipper combs and your Brevera?
Yeah, I use that on almost everybody's.
Right.
So I've even used it on Golden Doodles, but it will kind of wreck your blade.
I use my clipper vac on most of them, just not down the legs. So I have the horrible challenge of trying to scissor tiny dog legs, which is my nemesis for sure. Even though I know to use longer scissors so that I'm not making as many cuts, but still, it's not my forte. I'm not good at it. Or it's not even my fort. I heard someone say that the other day. It's not her fort.
Well, I wish I could come and spend a few days with you on the job and help you get over that, because you seem to have gotten stuck.
How about the corners of the eyes? How do you do corners of the eyes on tiny dogs?
Oh, the same way I do them on bigger dogs. I use the very corner of my Figura. The difference between the Bravado and the Figura is that the Figura is somewhat more ergonomically shaped. So it just fits in your hand a little bit better than just the straight barrel. And I use that on everybody. And when I'm doing corner of the eyes, you know, if I can't scissor it out with my small 5.5-inch blenders, which are hard to come by, I will take just the very corner of that. I've gotten to have a very light touch with my clippers, so I can just kind of quickly scoop that out without making a huge indentation. It's just, you just need to not use the full length of the blade, but just the very corner of the blade.
Good tutorial on grooming tiny dogs, I think. Do you think we missed anything?
Well, I will say one thing, that I do the bottoms of the feet of tiny dogs with my mini Bravura.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Just the really tiny little clippers, and they clip real close, but it's excellent for between the pads of the small dogs and underneath their toenails and stuff, yeah.
And I find oftentimes they really don't like their front foot being turned backwards and upside down, so I'll do them facing forward. Just those little dogs, for some reason, they're funny about the way they connect up in the shoulders and in the hips and knees. Thanks to us breeding those tiny dogs. But yeah, there you go. Yeah. Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and learn all about the CIR. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, stay tuned. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Barbara, enlighten us. What is the CIR? What does it do? Is it an ingredient? Tell me.
It's the suits, so to speak. It's the suits, okay? So the CIR is an independent organization established to thoroughly review and assess the safety of ingredients used in cosmetics in an open, unbiased, and expert manner, and to publish the results in an open scientific literature.
So are these people, are they chemists?
Good question, I will go on. The CIR has established a 7-member expert panel comprised of individuals expert in dermatology, pharmacology, chemistry, toxicology, and sometimes there's a veterinarian that serves. These independent scientists and physicians perform the reviews, and it's an open public review, and they will invite what you call stakeholders. What's a stakeholder? A stakeholder is someone that has a stake in the ingredient, right? So it's either a user of the ingredient or very often a manufacturer of the ingredient or the ingredient type. And so they invite industry stakeholders to attend their meetings and to add, and they have time for public opinion and time for people to submit additional literature for them to look at. They then make the judgment, they kind of vote to whether or not an ingredient is safe as used in the cosmetics. Okay, so it's our only, it's the only, see, it doesn't operate by regulations. It's a, it's the,
Is it voluntary? Well, it's like the stuff that gets tested.
No,
do they volunteer to
no,
be tested?
No, they take,
or
no,
do
no.
The panel
reviews the literature. It comes all after the fact. But the panel can say,
okay,
they can withhold their approval pending further investigation of toxicology, or, you know, like, we need to have this tested on humans, or they'll withhold their, if there's some big gap in the literature, they'll withhold the approval of the ingredient or approve it pending further information from such and so. And they'll be very specific as what kind of information. Sometimes there's information about immediate response like you swallow something, but sometimes there's lacking extended study of like, what if you just ate a tablet of it every day, you know? So they'll be specific at what kind of information is lacking. And they also are knowledgeable enough to know when something, if it's lacking its own studies, is similar enough to other things that they're comfortable with, confident of the safety. If it's something else is similar, behaves the same, is the same molecular size, et cetera, yada, yada, they will say that they think it's closely enough, right?
Okay. So where do these people operate out of?
Oh, that's good. I don't know that. You mean, where are they? Probably in New York.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't actually know where they meet. I just know that they meet usually a couple of times a year, and they have an agenda of what they're going to look at next. I mean, it's quite a lot to take all of the, you know, I don't know if you've ever, you probably have looked at studies, but, you know, like, man, it's so highly technical. And for me, it's really hard for me to read study after study where the animals are sacrificed at the end of the study, you know. Like,
yeah, that's not,
you know, like,
that is not conducive.
It's really
study.
Hard for us, you know. So, but
yeah,
I've done it, and so
if we've got a question, if we have a question about a certain ingredient, then is there a place we can go to see if these people
have?
Yes,
you can go to cir.com.org. CIR.org, and you can actually search for an ingredient there.
And because it's unbiased and not connected with any specific group or company, we should be getting good, honest results from them. So they should be pretty trustworthy, right?
And they don't value junk science as well as rigorous science, you know. So, you know, it's not that all manufacturers have junk science reports for their products. Some manufacturers do excellent studies, but some don't. Some of it is just truly kind of rigged science to get the result they want, and then they publish that in order to market the product. So the CIR does not consider all studies as equal. And in fact, they'll look at the study and say, I believe this one, but I don't believe this other one because of so-and-so, usually having to do with some failure to recognize, like failure to control, have a control group, or failure to do more than one application or whatever, okay? The CIR filters through and takes the actual highly acceptable studies as truth, and then makes a decision as to whether it's safe as used in cosmetics. They also, as used is very interesting, Susie, because that requires them to get some kind of information about how an ingredient is normally used. What percentage usually is in a product? And it can vary between, there's a huge difference between shampoos and skincare products, because skincare products are usually creams, and shampoos are usually water-soluble, rather highly diluted products. So you need to know that something is used at 5% or 52%, right?
Right. Yes, absolutely.
So they get an assessment or an evaluation of how, you know, everybody submits their products, and they'll have like 450 products using Colchicine, propylbutane, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Cool. Okay, another quick break, and then we'll be back with our very last segment of the show, where we're going to talk about breed profile grooming and its importance. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypoconditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. As you know, I do not do a lot of breed profile grooming because I do a lot of drop-coated dogs. That's my easiest favorite moneymaker is Shih Tzus and Havanese and Maltese and Yorkies, anything with a drop coat that I can whiz off with my clipper vac in a nice, efficient manner is my go-to dog. And as you know, those dogs are not shown shaved off. And I don't even shave them off. I use combs. But still, I'm not doing a lot of breed profile, but I do know the look, and the reason breed profile is so important is because if you don't know the look, how are you going to please the client? So Barbara, give me your opinions on this whole breed profile thing, because guess what? I think that's how Barbara makes her money.
Well, no, I do think that's a major fact. If I was to say, what are my three strongest selling points? I would say my great amount of patience, my scissoring skills, and my knowledge of breed profiles. Those are my three drawing points, what draws customers to me. And I started out at my apprenticeship on the miniature schnauzer. It was the first dog I ever groomed. And it took me 6 months to get it. I mean, my boss didn't think I was ever going to get it because I was moving from academic learning and knowledge and study to visual with very little input from him. You know, it was either pass or fail kind of assessment of my work. And it took me a long time to get the schnauzer done. But once I learned my terriers, I became kind of a terrier expert over the years. And it has served me well because people will see my grooming on somebody else's dog, ask them where they got the dog groomed, and immediately come to me. I get a lot of Westie grooming that way. I get Scotties that way, and I get Schnauzers that way. And I had a new Schnauzer customer last week that really proved the value of knowing the breed profile. And this was a young guy. He's a student at the U of A. And so he's a 20-something. I would call him a kid. He probably didn't think of himself as a kid, but a young man. And it's always interesting when a young guy has a dog to be groomed because, boy, they can just vary so much in terms of their appreciation of your value. But this guy had actually searched the internet looking for Schnauzer grooming in Tucson, which is how he found me. I said, well, how did you pick me? And he said, well, you had the most pictures of Schnauzers.
I think that's a good way to choose a groomer.
Yeah, and he probably found my blog on grooming Schnauzers in Tucson. And I had several pictures on that one article. But he was right on, and his dog was like 9 years old, so he's kind of like brought his dog to college with him, right? And he wanted a breed profile. He said, I just wanted her to see what it would be like if she looked like a real Schnauzer. And she came in, and she was just kind of woolly all over and had a U of A t-shirt on, really cute. So I didn't get before after pictures. I'm sorry, I should have, because this would have been a good one. You know, just a woolly bear with kind of a generic little terrier face, right? And I put the lines on her. I did the breed profile. I did her eyebrows and a kind of modified eyebrow, because we don't leave them as long for pets as we might for a show groom. She looked good. I mean, really, I know my shit. And the guy went nuts. He says, this is what I've always wanted. And he just was going on and on. And then finally he said it, my favorite expression. I don't think she's ever looked this good.
Oh, I love that.
So I love that. You know, so best grooming ever. So I like that.
Yeah.
You know, I charge $65 for a good Schnauzer in the breed profile because I know my shit, and it's taken me a long time to knock it out of the park, but I can. And he didn't blink at the price. He tipped. He'll be back. He'll be telling his friends. He couldn't wait to take her out. I said, you know, she's going to be a chick magnet now. Oh, and here's the other thing that he did. I think I might have mentioned this. He wanted me to save the eyelashes.
Oh, my.
You know, it's so extremely challenging to leave eyelashes and create a Schnauzer eyebrow, because normally those eyelashes would be trimmed into the curve of the eyebrow. And sometimes, you know, I had a standard Schnauzer breeder show me to lift the eyebrow up and just cut the eyelashes close to the...
That's what I was taught.
You know, it really opens the eyes up and you can see them better. So I even do that sometimes, depending on how downward pointy the eyebrows are. But to leave the eyelashes, you have to like hold the eyelashes down with one finger while you trim the eyebrow around
it's
your finger.
It's so hard.
It's so hard. And this was the first time ever that I thought I really accomplished that. I really accomplished a nice Schnauzer eyebrow, and her eyelashes just kind of poked out and curled up and looked real girly, and it was fine. I did it. I met the customer's expectation. You know what I mean? I don't like doing it that way. I don't suggest doing it that way, but I did it. Oh.
We talked about eyelashes, what, last week or the week before. And then I went to one of the houses where the lady wanted me to keep the eyelashes.
Yeah.
And I hacked them off. They're gone. I only, one side. but I had to even them up because otherwise they would have forever looked uneven for like months and months.
Forever. Yeah, I know, for a long time.
So I evened them out and I told the husband, I handed the next appointment and I said, I'm fairly certain I'm going to be fired after this. I said, but I accidentally took the eyelashes off. But when I went to that house and they said they wanted me to leave the eyelashes, I said I'm notoriously bad at that. So I pre-warned her, but still I expect her to cancel that next appointment. God. For eyelashes. Anyway.
No, I mean, you know, like you can lose a customer for some of the most petty issues. I've lost it for cutting the curl off the end of the cocker tail.
Yeah. These people left the previous groomer because she was flaky and would miss the appointments. And I'm like, oh, I never miss an appointment. You're totally golden. I've been going to your next door neighbors for 15 years. You know, I show up every appointment, whether you like it or not. And then the eyelashes comment came out and I went, uh-oh, maybe I'm not your groomer. Maybe this won't be as good a fit because I'm dangerous with the eyelashes. And then sure enough, four appointments in, I've whacked the eyelashes off. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, that will be a saga for the next Groom Pod because we're done for the day, Barbara. I'm going to let you go on with your life and I will go groom a Sheltie because that's what I've got going on this afternoon. And then it's all about taxes.
Yeah, well, you know, you are my life.
Well, at least Sunday morning. Okay, well, thanks for being here. Remember to support our sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, and The Absorber at DogLoversTowel.com. And let's do it again next week, eh, what?
Eh, what? Hey, and I hope all you groomers will take care of yourselves till we see you again, because we need you.
Bye. Have a great week.
See ya.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon. Hello, groomers. Hi, Barbara. Welcome to... Oh, you usually start. That's why that sounded weird. Miss Barbara Bird, will you start us off? Shit. Go ahead. Whenever you're ready, my dear. Agitate the hair a little bit so that it dries nice and easily and it's blowing nice and warm water on them, even in the middle of warm water. Oh my God. It's blowing nice warm air on them, even in the middle of the winter